Hello and good morning. This is Democracy in Action. My name is Lucy Kiden, and today we have youth with me, and we have young leaders from South Sudan's political parties. And the focus for today's discussion is youth unemployment. Yes, we shall be discussing this critical issue of youth unemployment. We shall look into the underlying causes of youth joblessness, its social and economic consequences, and explore practical strategies for creating more employment opportunities for youth. Now, a key focus will be the National Youth Development Policy that was adopted in October 2025. We shall examine how this policy is designed specifically for youth and how it can help address some of the challenges that we will mention and delve into detail. And so we'll also look at how this policy can help empower young people. Now, as we discuss these things, the main aim is to explore the insights and also look into the solutions that can contribute to the building of a more inclusive and prosperous future for South Sudan's youth. Now, you're very welcome to join the discussion. You're welcome to share your views and comments. And you can always start by sending a text message as the discussion is ongoing on 0912-177-141. Now, later on, we'll have the lines open, and that the numbers that you can use to call in are 0912-067879, 0912-067929, and 0912-068101. Now, let's welcome our guests to the studio. Our guests are from a group called Concerned Youth Leaders of South Sudan. I will mention them, and then they'll be able to say hello to you before we get into details of the program. And so first off, we have Mr. Tito Mule Alex. Tito, good morning and welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you once again.
Yes, and then we also have Mr. James Adalcourt. James, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to see you.
Yes, and we have a lady. So today there's a well-balanced gender in the studio. Miss Aaliyah Joyce Anthony, you're very welcome.
Good morning to everyone.
Yes, now Concerned Youth Leaders of South Sudan are young leaders who are part of political groups. So I would like to also request that you mention which, briefly talk about which political group you're part of and what is your role in that group, really. Let's start with James.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Luis Kiden, for having us today to discuss the important concerning the use of South Sudan peace and promise. My name is James Adalcourt. I'm a youth representative from other political parties, that is particularly under the umbrella of political parties led by Honorable Peter Mayen Mejongdit, the signatory to South Sudan peace process. And at the same time, in this group, I'm also the spokesperson of Concerned Youth Leaders South Sudan.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, Tito.
Once again, I want to thank you, Lucy Kiden, for hosting us for this very important day. In the first place, I'm called Tito Mule Alex, chair fashions from South Sudan African National Union Party, which is SANU, which is led by our chairman, Bol Toby. As for today, it is a privilege that we are airing out about the issue of youth unemployment in South Sudan.
Thank you very much, Ms. Aaliyah.
Yeah, I'm Aaliyah Joyce once again. I represent a political party which is African People Congress, led by Mr. Deng Bill. It's a youth-led political party. I also sit as in this group as a member for this group and representing women, young women outside there.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, going straight into our topic of discussion, first off, let's just continue with you, Aaliyah. What do you think are the main reasons behind the high youth unemployment rate in South Sudan? Already we know that youth take up the biggest population of the country, estimated to be more than 70%. But then the same group is the highest number of unemployed people. What do you think are the reasons behind it? And how do these factors differ between urban and rural areas? Yes.
Okay, I can say the main reason, one is the poor planning by the government. One, they didn't initially or from beginning, they did not put in plan that youth will come into such kind of state, because they if they had planned it, things would be better, because they will plan great employment opportunities, like even skills and training skills earlier, so that youth are empowered earlier than now, realizing the problem right now. Now, secondly, I must say the education system, which is prioritizing people only to sit in class and you just get knowledge without skills. And the skill later to get job, like mostly it is a job seekers kind of education we have. And for that reason, everyone is planning that after finishing, I have to look for job, to get job. And yet the job market, the job is not there. I think mostly because the population is high for the youth, for you to employ all of them, especially even if you want, their jobs are there. And 1,000, maybe 1,000 graduates are there, but the job is only wanting 2 to 3 people. So how will they get all in? This is the issue.
Okay.
So I can say that. And another thing is also the mindset of our people, that it's only when you study, only you have to work in the office. Not taking yourself to other work, like the other kind of work, doing your skills, using your hand. So this is the reason why most of youth are not employed.
And okay. So the system did not prepare for this. And then the way the education system is set, people are just preparing to work in offices and not even go to, they're not innovative enough. Thank you for that. What can you add to this, Tito?
What I will add in regard to what my sister have said in concern about the issue of youths in the rural areas. What is challenges? Youths, there is a greater exclusions of the youths, especially in issue of the employment, where there is less access to the educations. If we find that there is some other rural areas, which is some other youths even do not have an access to the educations. One of things we can observe in other counties, whereby even secondary schools are already set up due to the insecurity, where you will find even some of other youths end up even without going through the education curriculum well. After when even they come and settle in the town, now the lifestyles of them even changes because of the situation that they have already gone over through it. So what I will say, it's the government,
Could you explain a little bit more on the lifestyle change? What do you mean by that?
One of other things, like especially in the villages, you'll find that the education systems are different. Like you'll find here in the town, people will focus about in vocational trainings, simple electricity trainings, and the building skills. But you'll find it in the rural areas, youths even are not exercising that type of knowledges. After when they come to the town and they want to enjoy the same lifestyles, they will end up even without getting a job.
Okay,
you'll find even the checking jobs that maybe when they come to the town, they will get a white collar jobs that they will also compete with those youths which are within the town.
But then the competence is not the same.
Yeah,
They're not at the same level of skills.
Yeah, you'll find the skills are very low.
Okay.
Yeah, they will not compete with those one who are already in the urban areas.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yes, finally coming to you. And again, you could differentiate between the urban and the rural areas.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Biskrin, for having us once again. My name is James Adults, representing OPP. And concerning the youth is basically a major challenge. And it is a pressing issue that is currently, destabilizing youth across the nations. And even to emphasize on the current policy that has been enacted into law by the parliament, the youth development policy, which has been passed with the 20% quotas, the youth representation in the governor at all level. So with this 20%, I can say it is very critical, and to also for us to understand what does this mean, and even to this stakeholder, the decision makers themselves. So this 20% will basically help youth in the in so numerous ways, both the national level, the state level, and also at the grassroots level. Because,
okay, we'll be coming to the youth development policy. Let's first understand what are the reasons behind the high youth unemployment rate. Do you have anything to add there?
Basically, it's due to lack of opportunities, first of all, by the relevant institution that were supposed to exercise their job, their duties. For instance, the Labor Act mandates all the institutions, including the some other relevant ministries and stakeholders, to abide by that law. But now they are not abiding by that law because Labor Act is stating 80% should be a South Sudanese national across working force. But now it's not happening. They are not ensuring any necessary measures to ensure that this policy is implemented. And by implementing this policy, and where the youth will, get the opportunities. But looking at the rural areas, we also have another government in the state. We have a state government that we are supposed to ensure necessary measures making sure that youth are also employed across the grassroots levels.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for stating all these different reasons behind youth unemployment that come from a systemic failure and leads to the schools and the way of the format of the education coming to the grassroots, where the competence levels, the quality of the education is not the same as that in the urban centers. And so all these come together and increase the number of youth unemployment rate in the country. Now, how does this negatively impact not only the youth, but the communities in South Sudan? What are the consequences of youth unemployment?
Okay. Mostly the consequences is broad, socially and economically. Also political. As you can see, the numbers of the youth, the population is high. And economically, I will say that the tax base is highly not utilized because many youth are not employed, and taxes who are supposed to work and being taxed and increase the national income. So that's the reason. And also I can say in economic part, it's like the GNP or GDP of the country is less because the human resource is not being fully utilized. And this is the reason why we are always facing a lot of economic crisis, because we have not planned that the largest population should work. The big population should work, and we earn from them. The government gets from them through taxes, through other things. And socially, you'll find right now most of the unemployed youth are now frustrated. They are entering into drugs, into crimes, dubious way of getting money, and all other kind of crimes like different crimes that will not ensure security in the residence or in the country. And politically, again, you'll see most of them, they can be easily manipulated to go for the wars, or they can cause a lot of, on social media, you'll find unemployed youth, they're always there negative about the government, negative about the country, because they feel they have been neglected and there is nothing good that comes from this country. So this is what I can say politically, socially, and economically.
Thank you for mentioning those. And coming to you, James, what would you say, though? Aliyah has talked about the individual impact and also how it affects the communities and also our economy. What would you say in terms of peace and stability in the country? How does unemployment affect that directly?
Well, I can say it is really is a huge impact, because when you look at how youth are being driven by this elite, political elite, sometime we recruit them to join whatever movement we want, whether non-violent movement or a violent movement. You know, you thinking that it's something that will later on, you know, benefit them. But they will end up, you know, in vain. There will be nothing completed. So I can say it, there's a huge impact directly. For instance, it happened, let me say, when the war dropped out in South Sudan here, when the war erupted, it happened in so many ways that youth were recruited to join, you know, a necessary movement, you know, against the government and also then the community as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what I can tell to the young people is that now we have to be very vigilant, you know, joining any movement or joining anything that will later on lead to, you know, loss of your life or even loss to the community life as well. So we need to be very careful of that.
All right. Very quickly, Tito, do you have anything to add in that regard?
In regard to what two colleagues of mine have already said, what I will say in regard to that point, we will say that youth need to invest it among themselves, in which is by we need to be intergenerational levels, in which is by we cannot just go by advertising on social media that we are not employed. Because these elderly people have already taken their positions. But we need to make intergenerational dialogues among the elderly people, then going and then creating some other chaos, in which is by you will find that even some of other youths and even elderly leave even their homes.
Okay.
That is why when you can go to the town, you'll find that a lot of people who have been suffering alongside the road, alongside the streets, are mostly are youths, because they are focusing that maybe if their parents may believe their positions, automatically they will grab that positions, because their mindset is only that they need to work on white-collar jobs. And that is why even you can see other youths, even they faltered as like the victims of crimes within the town, because the levels that they go over through, they are already dramatized with the consequences of the political arenas within a country.
All right. Now with all this, we've understood what the main reasons are behind youth high employment. We've understood the consequences for the youth, for the communities, and even for the economy of a country like South Sudan. And you literally just mentioned something. You said the youth need to, you know, rethink why they are doing these things. Well, they need to rethink the way they approach this subject matter. But then if we want to change the mindset of the youth, it needs to be directed somewhere else. What are those untapped areas that we want to direct the youth to so that they can create jobs or they can create even employment? They can create employment, but also they will find opportunities there.
What I will say, first I need to begin by the system of educations, the curriculum systems. I will direct that it is the government who will come and changes first the priorities of the system of educations, whereby we, as like youths in South Sudan, we will not focus only on theoretical part of learning, of academic. But we can emphasize, like when we can go through the labor act, it is very clear in their policy, it is stated that a government will come up with that policy of creation of youth centers through a vocational training. Then all of us are looking for the white-collar jobs. We as like a youth, we can say, no, instead of me to study this theoretical fact, let me focus on technological fact. Whereby in the current situation of the world, everything it will be done through the system of technology.
Okay.
And technologies are very important. Like, for instance, this year I can come closer to myself as like a youth currently now. Since I graduated in 2017, I'm still hanging. So I'm still struggling for the little skills that I got. Now, I can do even electricity. I can do building. I can do everything that which is I can use through my force. Now, if I can say, okay, I need to go and specialize based on the degree I got, I will end up even with that, even surviving in my life. So the only things that I will encourage is our young youths, that let's focus on technological part and also a vocational training. And I would encourage our national government and the state government that let them create a youth centers, then bringing all the youths that they will go and study in the universities, focusing on theoretical facts. Most you will find all youths are studying all these economics theories and accounting. But where are they going to implement all this language that they have already get through their university's level?
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Aliyah.
I will say mine is since from the secondary school, we need to encourage or to have a talks like career guidance to the students. And we need to tell them the reality there so that they don't go in the university with just mindset of, I just want to get job. I don't want to be job creator. So this is one thing also I will say, it's a cross-cutting to the family. You will find our families when someone starts telling you that I'm going to do, or telling the parents that I'm going to do some work, then they will start saying, if a child start getting money, she will not continue with school. But we need to clear that mindset out, because I can still go to university and then I do some business work that is building my skills in other things. I can still go to school and also go to another vocational training, so that I get skills. Where the professional skills and the professional knowledge does not give me work, I can use the hand skill that I have. So this is one thing I can say. And secondly, also as a government, I am asking or requesting that government should be seeing the opportunities where those ones who already graduated can get jobs through industrialization. They can come out with the policy that encourage industrialization, and the industry should employ youth, both those who are with the professional skills and then with those one with the, like using hand skills. They work in the industry in different forms. There are those who will be carriers, there are those who will be other things. You know, industry requires a lot of work. So the government should come out with this as another way of handling what is currently happening.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Aliyah. If you have just tuned in, this is Democracy in Action, and today our topical focus is youth unemployment. And we have youth representatives right here with me. We have Tito Mule Alex, James Adal Court, Aliyah Joyce Anthony, all from different political parties, part of one collective group called Concerned Youth Leaders of South Sudan. And as we talk about youth unemployment, so far we've looked at the main reasons behind high youth unemployment rate in South Sudan, some of which include the system that did not prepare for this kind of problem, but also the education system that prepares the young people for white collar jobs. And then when it comes to the time of looking for jobs, the number of jobs is not proportionate to the number of youth who have graduated and are looking for these jobs. And then another concern was how there's a difference in the urban and rural areas where the standard of education is not the same. And when those in the rural areas come to the urban areas, they're not able to compete with those who studied in the urban areas. And that is just a few of some of which was mentioned earlier. We looked at the negative impacts of youth. Youth will be tending towards criminal activities. There's a number of them in the street. And then the fact that then they are susceptible to being pulled into negative groups that cause conflict in the community. And then we've looked at the consequence for the economy, because Aliyah mentioned earlier that we're not using the human resource that we have in order to produce, but also to tax as government. When you're employed, you give taxes to the government. Practical strategies, we just heard about changing the system of education, but also providing career guidance to the young people right from secondary school, so that they're choosing the right subjects or focus as far as career. What are those that will offer employment opportunities at the time when they'll be searching for jobs? So there's a lot we've talked about so far. And right now, before we go for a break and taking your calls. Let's look at the National Youth Development Policy that was recently adopted just in October 2025. And the aim is to empower young people. This question will be going to James Adal. What are those provisions that should be prioritized for the implementation for some of the strategies that have just been mentioned? Ali also mentioned government being key in providing opportunities for industrialization so that there are jobs in there. What are some of those provisions?
First and foremost, in the current context, I would say that this policy, particularly 20% youth quotas, I'm basically calling for, adaptation of this 20% and also integration of this 20% into the current, the current RRSS framework. So that this particular to the leaders' parties of the agreement and also the National Transitional Committee to know that there's a policy that's been passed. When they were doing this peace talk in Addis, priorities were only given to women, where 35% was basically adopted and fully now implemented. I'm so happy for that 35% of women has been, adopted and fully implemented. So I'm basically calling for parties to know that there is 20% youth that is now enacted into law and need to be implemented, particularly by all the parties, leaders of the agreement. When they are doing any decision, they should ensure that there are young people. But before you take a decision, I would like to say that there's a youth age that have been determined, which is an individual between 30 to 18. That is the youth age. And when people talk of there are young people in the current government, I can say no, there is no young people in the current government. Those who are there and the one they perceive to be a youth, they are not youth, they are basically a middle age. So this is what I can basically cite.
All right. So the youth age has been determined from 18 to 30. So if you're 31, you're not youth.
Yeah, and in addition to that, I would like to also bring to the attention of the nation and the youth as well, some who have not heard about it. Why? Because there were so many questions rising up. Why is it 30 to 18 being determined of youth? The reason being is that it is based on demographical factors and also the consensus among the young leaders across the nation that was made.
Okay.
So when I talk of demographical factors, is that the age that is determined to be 35 is the population of let me say roughly 73% that is determined as the youth age, which is the age below 35. So I remember in the parliament they were saying why can't we consider it also age of 40 to be the youth? Then we said, looking into that, it will be another issue. That means the population of the youth will even increase to 80% if we considered 40%. 40 years
all right
of age.
Thank you for clarifying the age. Now, you did mention that the 20% quota is important because then once there's representation of the youth in the government, in the political parties, then they're able to push for some of these strategies that you talked about earlier that need to be in place to get the employment rate coming down. What other policies, what other provisions are there? Very quickly, Tito.
Thank you. I need to add to what my colleague have said, James. Really, we as like youths in South Sudan, we have a right to demand for that 20%. As when we can go over through the youth charters, it is mentioning a lot about the involvement of youths, especially in the parliaments. We don't have youth representations in the parliaments.
Okay, so aside from the political space, what other provisions are there?
What we can impose as like some other provisions that we need all the political parties to air out that youths are important to play their role to develop a country.
Okay.
That is one. Number two, we need to say that youth is very important. It started from the state level up to the national level. Because when you can see youths from the national, from the state level, even they are not presented well. Just only you can see only just here in South Sudan, where only youths, boys, have been hurt in the national level.
All right. Thank you, Tito. Yes, you had something, James.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say the provision of 20%, I need to bring to the attention of all nations that it's not basically restricted only on a political space. But this 20%, whether you are a private sector, a non-governmental organization, whatever sector, whether business sector, we have to ensure that in your leadership structure, your office, whatever way you'll call it,
you must have
youth representation, and should be the age that I've just mentioned.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that, and indeed it's a very important provision in the youth policy. All right, well, there's room to hear from two or three callers right now, and then our guests will be able to answer the questions. Go ahead and call in, and you'll be able to ask. We're going for a short break, and then we'll take those calls.
السلام رسالتنا الوحدة هدفنا راديو مرايا صوت السلام.
Yes, welcome back. We're talking about youth unemployment today, and we've understood some of the reasons behind the high youth unemployment. First of all, the youth are the biggest population, so they are the most unemployed, because that is already a factor, and there are many other factors we talked about earlier. We've looked at the negative impacts of unemployment on the youth and the communities in South Sudan, and some of the practical strategies and opportunities that can be emphasized and practically actioned in order to reduce that rate of unemployment in the country. You're welcome to call in or text in right now, and also ask a question or give a comment as we are now concluding the discussion. Right, now, speaking on this 20%, as representatives of political parties, what are some of the concrete steps that you feel your parties can take to ensure youth employment becomes a central part of the national development agenda? So that means each of you can speak on this in about a minute each. Yes.
Okay, I will talk in a political perspective, centering within, for instance, in my party, what I can do, which is what the other person, the other colleague of mine can do, is that within your party, you have to ensure that youth representation.
Your party?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, within my party, I have to ensure that youth representation, you know, the constitution of the party and the structure of the party abide with it. Before us even, advocating for a constitutional post, we have to ensure the party structure itself, the leadership of the party itself, the youth representation is adopted.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Tito, what other step can be taken?
What I will say based on the political parties, especially like me as like a youth league chairperson within the party, we advocate for the collaborations among all the youths. We cannot neglect that this is the youth which is graduates, and these are not graduates. In political parties, so long you can know the context of political party, and then you have to also abide by the rules of the party, whereby all youths are in the same page. We cannot divide it, and then we can also emphasize that women representations is very important in all political parties.
So no discrimination.
No discriminations.
Thank you, Tito. Mm. Coming to you, Aliyah, what are those concrete steps your party can take to ensure that employment is part of the national development agenda?
Okay, I will say that one, the 20% is to for the party to adopt it and make it as part of their so that it will reflect also in the constitution, which it gives the upper hand, the legality for the youth to demand for their right. Second, I want to add on the provision in the youth development policy is the one, there should be a vocational training, which is supposed to be across the 10 states and also the 3 administrative area, to ensure that youth are not migrated like rural urban migration. Because now if they come in the town where there's no good accommodation, it will create a lot of issues. So we are saying that the vocational training should be on all these states and then that administrative, so that people get to move out. Even some people will be taken from Juba to the other side. And then another thing, the provision of the Youth Development Fund, that gives them also an upper hand to do entrepreneurship, where they are group, the group of organized youth who have a clear vision and clear mission, and what do they want to do. Sometimes those who will invest in agriculture, those who will invest in industry, those who will invest in other things. So those are the provision within the youth development policy. So I can say that it is very important that they implement it, not just a document. If they implement it, it will help address some of the challenges that the youth are facing right now.
All right. So I have a question. Are there any consequences to failing to adopt this policy for the parties?
I like the question because... you know, there are consequences, basically. You know, youths are being discriminated, first of all. For instance, if you ask for, you know, representation or you want any particular position in the government, first of all, these government stakeholders, officials, they discriminate the youth in a way that, you know, looking at traditional morals and you know, norms, where you have been said that no, if you are not married, then you will not be you know, qualified for this position, whether in the cabinet or in the parliament or wherever. So youth are basically facing a major challenge. But what I want to bring to their attention, particularly these decision makers, is that our constitution is stated very clearly. The Constitution of the Republic of South Sudan, Article 112.3, stating is looking at if you have an integrity, you are qualified, you are competent. That means you will be eligible to be in the cabinet or in the parliament. You see, but now this is what is basically happening to us, and I want to bring to their attention that this is not how nation is being run. They are just, you know, looking at technical ways to ensure that they elbow the youth from, you know, participating into political spaces.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I have one other question, and this will come to you, Aliyah, because this would interest you. In this 20%, is the gender factor included?
I think in the policy it has not been clear, but in most of our talk we say it, when we say youth, it does not mean the male counterpart, it's also female. So it's a clear, if the policy could just make it clear, both female and male, mm-hmm. so that people understand that the 20% is not only for male counterpart.
Do you think there would be need to have a quota in the quota?
No.
Okay.
The quota is already 20%, mm-hmm. which is for youth, and the youth is about male and female. That's clear. You have to people have just to understand that it is not, when we talk about youth, it's not only the male.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I was wondering, maybe it had to be 50% the 20%.
The word you decide.
I know that.
Yes.
But then, just like there's need for 35% in the government, and it's a question to think about on a general, right? Yes. Due to time, I'll be giving you 30 seconds to just conclude and give a message to the young people, starting with you, Tito.
What I will say it in the conclusion that we need a government first to consider people with a disability in any sector of employment. Let them also not focus about, like when you can see about the issue of advertisement, where they will advertise that a minimum number or the experience person, it will be like 10 years experience. I need to bring to the level of our education, mm-hmm. in South Sudan.
Yeah.
You'll find somebody will join to primary school when it's already 12 years in age. And then you'll find it's joined to university when it's already 25 years. So if the government say the limit experience will be like 10 years.
That's a limit.
It is also affecting the youth.
So what I will encourage
the government, let them come up with that policy of intensive programs. after when the youths graduate from the university, it is the Pacific institution who will come and take the youths to that intensive program. And then from there, that we'll call it as like the beginning
Thank you.
Of the skills
Thank you, Tito.
Training. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's a very important point. Very quickly, James, final remark.
Okay. Thank you. My message is that, you know, we need peace at the youth. We need peace. We need, you know, freedom. Because without peace, all that we just mentioned will never happen. So we need peace across the nation, whether the grassroots, you know, we are hardworking. You know, we can walk
Thank
over
you,
the
James.
Night.
Thank
so
you.
We need peace.
We need peace indeed. Aliyah, 30 seconds.
Yeah, mine, I would say, as youth, we need to also talk about peace. We need to implement peace within ourselves, because when we continue to be part of crimes, part of the insecurity, it affects us. As youth, you still have journey to have wife, to have children, and if you put yourself into such kind of crimes, like, the lifespan will be short. You'll not do anything.
Okay. Thank you so much, Aliyah. Thank you, James. And thank you, Tito, for coming to speak about this very important topic. I do wish you a lovely day as you continue with your duties.
Thank you so much for having us.